schemes or be used in multiple schemes. What's it about versatility that you like at the linebacker spot?
Well, you should never say my name and those two names in the same sentence, first of all. It's part of the evolution of the game, I think. It's part of the evolution of defense, you know, because offense does certain things and the defense has to react to that. It's, you know, in some cases, you can never get all you want because, you know, it's difficult to find a player with enough characteristics physically and athletically to be able to justify that sort of switching around. So in some cases, it's more in theory than it is in actual fact.
Speaking of that offensive evolution, the defense following, the whole hybrid safety movement.
Where do you
see a place for that on the field that maybe you wouldn't see 3, 4, 5 years ago?
Sure, there are teams that has done some of that in the past. It kind of depends on the personnel you have and whether it makes sense. And sometimes writing about it, talking about it, and things it's really more an effort to try. It's just like nickel or dime or you want to put as many of your best players on the field at one time. And I think this is another example of doing that. Not only, sure, you're trying to prevent, I mean, cause matchup problems and make the defense a little stouter maybe at the point of attack or stuff, but you're really looking for athletic mismatches.
Without details, do you feel that you have the personnel to do some of those things?
Sure. I played multiple positions at one time. I wasn't very good at it.
There's always a sense of optimism at the beginning of a new training camp, but it's hard not to notice the players and coaches speaking with what seems to be a new sense of urgency to win this year. I was wondering if you kind of sense that and what your personal feelings are about the urgency for this team to go deeper than it has the previous few years this season.
Yeah, my thinking is always the same. We're starting a new year and we're playing for a championship and we're trying to win this championship. That's the way it was this time last year and the year before and the year before. So mine's not changed. I think everybody probably, whether they verbalize it or not, everybody wants to do that, is to win. You can say it or not say it. You can jinx it. Maybe think you jinx yourself or that sort of thing. This is a good football team, and I think they know kind of where they are in the grand scheme of things. They've been in position in playoffs to compete at a high level, and I don't think it's a misstatement to say that we would like to win the whole thing.
Hey, Ted, you just signed a guy from the Arena League. There's been guys, John Dorsey signed that basketball player from UW-Milwaukee, and he seems to have panned out pretty well. There's guys from Australian rules football and rugby that have tried to make this jump to the NFL. What's your philosophy on kind of finding guys? You've always talked about kind of diamonds in the rough. What about guys that have taken non-traditional routes to get here? How do you kind of view those guys' chances, and what's your philosophy on giving those guys opportunities?
Well, I think, you know, if you have the time and the player has the inclination and the athletic ability and the intelligence too, I think it's a doable thing. John Dorsey, when we worked together here, he was always looking outside the box, and I think that's a strong characteristic to have as a personnel guy. The actual fruition of it and whether it all works is a little bit more problematic. But we're not opposed to it, but there is a time and a clock that's ticking, especially this time of year. We have a certain number of days, certain number of weeks before we start playing for real, and you don't get to do the tryout stuff that much then.
Ted, Ron hired you in what, early 92? Was it January? Was it
January 17, 1992, my birthday.
If I'm not mistaken, you said that he came to you at some point and said, hey, I'm going to trade a first-round pick for this quarterback. What do you think? Am I remembering that?
He said, what do you think? He wanted me to watch it. And so he left me in a dark room, and I watched some of it. And he comes back in, and he goes, what do you think? And I said, well, what do you think? He goes, I like him. I think I'm going to trade a number one for him. And I said, I think you ought to do that. None of which he was listening to me. And he didn't need any help. But it was a strong thing. Now, Brett, I've said this before, in that limited time he got to play in Atlanta, wasn't all pretty. But it was pretty when he got to the Green Bay Packers.
Brett told us, after the fact, that you had texted him a few times when he was with the Vikings and congratulated him. And, thinking back 8 years now to that summer and how things were, how happy are you that he's going to go into the Hall of Fame now with this team and him both on seemingly pretty good terms? I don't know if you guys are still drinking beers at the 50-yard line like you once did since it's gone, but is that important? I mean, are you glad, and why do you think it's important, if so?
Well, I think it's important for the organization and the player to be in a good place. For me, it's a selfish thing, It's like I've said before, we never had a crossword and still haven't. But circumstances put us all in situations that we were uncomfortable with and caused. And I think that happens in life. I think life throws you curveballs sometimes and sometimes you think you're doing the right thing and maybe you're not, or vice versa. But for my small part in the relationship angle in terms of Brett and the Green Bay Packers and stuff, I'm glad that part is over with.
Do you regret anything about what you did or could have done in that 08 offseason?
No. You think back and you wonder, was this the right thing? We did the best we could at the time, and I think, Brett and his crew did the best they could at that time.
Do you ever think in terms of, I've got a Hall of Fame player on my hands, or when do you realize
that? Well, we knew that.
When did you kind of realize that Favre was camp worthy?
Oh, you mean as a scout and watching him play? Oh, that was pretty soon. That was pretty soon. I can remember all this stuff, and I'm sure you guys can too. But his first game as a playing on an extensive amount against who was it? We lost the Tampa game, and he played a little bit in that game, and he was the crazy Brett in that game. Yeah. There was crazy Brett always around somewhere. And I mean that in a loving way. But we're playing, and he throws the pass to Kipchak. And wins the game. And he's running around at like the 40-yard line with his helmet off, and he's twirling his helmet like a baton, and he throws it up in the air, and I'm on the sideline, watching the game, and I'm sitting there thinking, he's our only holder left, and this game was tied at the touchdown, so we had to kick an extra point, and our holder had just thrown his helmet halfway across the field, so we had to get all that squared away. It's always fun.
Did you ever see the NFL Films close-up of that extra point, that Brett's actually not touching the ball
I think at best it was like, you know, he was trying to slap his hand down on him. But yeah, you might be right. He might not have been holding at all, but we made it. It was interesting. Cincinnati Bengals, that's who it was. It's a good game. It's good to watch.
So what did you think of Brett when you were watching, when Ron told you to watch that film?
The same thing as like in that Cincinnati game, unbelievable at times, and then young at times. And he, everybody forgets, he was a young player. When we were talking about trading the number one for him, he was a first-year player out of Southern Miss. So it wasn't like he had a whole lot of stuff to show, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I hadn't been around Ron very long, but I'd been around Ron long enough to know that he wanted an answer that was tilted in a certain direction. And so I was perfectly glad to tilt it in that direction.
So what were you really thinking, though? I mean, you're thinking, are you crazy for a first-round pick? And that's pretty high.
Oh, no, I wasn't smart enough to think, are you crazy? You know, it was whatever you say, Ron, that's what we'll do. But it turned out really good, and one of the great trades of all time, probably.
Ted, how much harder does, and you haven't had faced this in your 12 years, but how much harder does a GM's job get when he doesn't have answers at quarterback? I mean, you have plenty of friends in the league, you have other guys that work for you that have, you know, tried to solve the quarterback riddle. Just how much harder do you think it gets when you don't have Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers as a GM?
Well, I mean, the common sense, and certainly just having a conversation, it's got to be miles different, you know. We have always said this. We've been remarkably fortunate at this franchise to have the two that we've had walk through here.
Was that, you were in Seattle for a little while there, and you were there when you guys went and got Matt Hasselbeck, right?
Yes.
I mean, is that something that you and Mike Holmgren talked about too? We got to get a quarterback to
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Coach Holmgren, you know, he's a quarterback guy. And he liked Matt a lot. We had Trent Dilfer at the time, but we wanted a couple of guys, especially their intellect. Is what Mike was after was Trent and Matt's smarts, because they were off the shelf. I mean, off the charts with that part of it. And Matt played very well. We were a very competitive team, and he was in the upper group. I'm not saying he was with the group, but he was in the upper half of the NFL, I think, during most of the years that I was there.
Two more, please.
Hey, Ted, I know you guys obviously have football business to take care of in Canton, playing the preseason game, but will you get a chance to go to the ceremony or do any of that stuff with Brett?
Yeah, we're hoping to, you know, and people are working night and day trying to pull off the logistics of all of it. But we're certainly hoping to make it, and we think we will, by hook or by crook. But that's the plan.
Ted, you've had so much success, a Super Bowl win, dominated in the NFC North, go to the playoffs, and you've had these close playoff losses the last 3 or 4 years, especially in Arizona as well. Do you and your staff reevaluate that then after this season, say, you know, what's missing to finish? Because you've had great teams all through this last seasons. Wonder what you need to get to that next step.
Right. I've been reading that in the press recently. I think you always go through a checklist of things, and how'd we do on this, how'd we do on that, that sort of thing. But has it been a grand design of what do we have to do to push this over? Bum Phillips, we came back from Pittsburgh. and we'd lost another AFC championship game. And they, all the people in the city of Houston almost, it seemed like, came to the Astrodome to welcome us back, you know. And this is after a losing AFC championship game. And they, Bum Phillips, they had a stage thing, so he goes up and, you know, makes a little talk to the people, and he goes, I think his thing was, last year we knocked on the door, this year we beat on the door, next year we're going to knock the SOB in. I think sometimes you can get a little carried away with it. Bless his heart, you know, we didn't do that. I think the next year Cleveland won that conference, but I think you try to get ready every year to try to win. We're playing the National Football League. We have no mistake in thinking that we're in an easy deal. This is a tough deal. Last year was good in some ways and was disappointing in some ways. This year is a brand new year, and I think our team is ready to take on the challenge. There are other teams that are taking on the challenge, so it's not only us that we're trying to scratch and fight to get to the top, and there are other teams doing the same thing. But I like our group. I like the way our group is mentally, and Mike and his staff have done a great job in the offseason getting us ready. And here we go, and that's all we can do.
I talked to Wade in the Broncos locker room where he's holding the trophy.
Deep. Yeah, Bum was away. He had a way with words.
Do you allow yourself to
consider luck playing any part? I mean, 2 years, it comes down to a coin flip and overtime. You lose both. Does luck play a part, or is it things that are within your control?
Oh, I think, you know, there's good fortune to be had, you know, and you make a 50-footer for the championship in the U.S. Open, then you had to be pretty good to get to the U.S. Open and be in that position to have that chance to make that putt, but you made a 50-footer. And even though you're a good putter, that would be considered, I hope I'm not degrading y'all's thinking in golf, but I think that would be considered somewhat lucky.